Hello and welcome to The Big Fight, the Road to 2019 edition. And now the road is starting to come to an end. The dates are announced, 23rd, of course, when counting will happen. But man, there's just a score of days or so till the first round of polling. So we are nearly there at the end of the road. And in not so much time from now, we will know what exactly it is that the voters feel. Which is why every week now we're going to be continuing to take a look at all the major developments that have happened. And those also are getting updated virtually every minute, every hour. So before we go any further and I introduce all the panelists out here and we start looking at the special issues to discuss, let's quickly bring you an update of all the major factors that you should be keeping in mind when it comes to the general elections.
The biggest political development this week has been none other than the announcement of the Lok Sabha elections, which will be held across seven phases starting on April 11th. The counting of votes will be held on May the 23rd. With the elections being announced, political parties have stepped on the poll pedal, with seat-sharing arrangements being finalized and candidates being announced. The Congress and JDS have settled the poll deal in Karnataka with a 20-8 formula. While the Congress-JDS seat-sharing deal has been announced, the focus also has been on the candidates. Ex-PM Devegowda made way for grandson Prajwal in a public rally, whereas Samajwadi Party patriarch Mulayam is all set to fight from the Yadav bastion of Mainpuri. Even the Congress has announced candidates in several seats across Maharashtra and Uttar Pradesh. Milind Deora, Priya Dutt, Raj Babbar, Sushil Kumar Shinde are all in the poll ring. Among the most significant developments this week has been the announcement by Mamata Banerjee of fielding candidates on all seats in Bengal, with 41% candidates being women. While DD has decided to go solo in Bengal, Congress seems set to go solo in Delhi and Haryana, despite repeated attempts by Delhi Chief Minister and AAP Chief Arvind Kejriwal to stitch up an alliance. While the Congress is still working out most of its regional alliances, the BJP is racing ahead in stitching up its own alliances. Key Assam ally, AGP, is back in the NDA fold barely months after exiting the alliance over the contentious citizenship bill.
All right, so a lot happening, as you can see, people changing from one party to the other, alliances, will alliances happen, will alliances not happen? You know why this is the biggest and the most exciting moment ever in any news person's life is a general election. It is the greatest show on the planet by far. 1.3 billion people represented, actually 900 million people actually go out to vote, but that is by far the biggest show ever of democracy anywhere. So joining us to help us understand everything that's happening, Ghanshyam Tiwari of the Samajwadi Party, great to have you with us. Aarti Jairath, Deshrathan Nigam is with us, political analyst. KC Tyagi, general secretary, spokesperson of the JDU, is with us as well. Aishwarya Mahadev is with us, spokesperson of the Congress Party. And Mahua Moitra is joining us, spokesperson of the TMC. So a range of voices out here. Lots happening. Can I just ask all of you first, people swinging back and forth, going from one party to the other, does it signify the direction in which the wind is swinging? Aishwarya, should I start with you first? I mean, somebody who's probably been a mentor of yours, like Tom Vadakkan going across to the BJP, does that come as a shock? Does that reduce morale?
I wouldn't say. Obviously, it is quite a shock because you see that Mr. Vadakkan has been with the Congress for a while. But at the end of it, you have to look at what sort of traction this would give you on the ground in terms of votes and also seats and how you're winning elections. Mr. Vadakkan joining the BJP is that way a perception-wise, it's an upswing for them. I don't know how much of this they can capitalize or monopolize on.
But obviously, this may not have an effect on votes. I'm just saying it gives a certain perception that the Congress is now on sliding a little bit and the BJP is rising a little bit from, certainly from the time the state assembly elections were announced.
In converse, you see that a lot of sitting MPs of the BJP are also moving to the Congress. And during elections, depending on seats and the logistics and also the dynamics of it, like for example, Savitribai Phule was an MP that quit and is now contesting as of yesterday on a seat from the Indian National Congress. So you see that this has been happening in the back
and forth. She named a name. Savitribai Phule is actually a fairly strong leader, and that may be again. So I'm saying that yes, it's happening on both sides. And her coming across or leaving the BJP does send a very strong signal, for example, to the Dalits and the Scheduled Castes, which should concern you.
See, no, See, it's always a matter of concern and not a very good feeling if somebody who has been there for a very long time in a party and crosses over the other side, as Aishwarya rightly pointed out. But then I think political parties know how to manage these things. And suppose you go at the last moment. I mean, even Tom Vadakkan coming to the BJP, it's a matter where he was a spokesperson of a party, and then going over, it certainly is a shock for the Congress. But we'll have to see how much does it help the BJP on the ground. And that is what at the end of the day matters. Maybe in South India, yes. Maybe in Kerala, yes. That effect has to be seen when he goes on the ground. But this lateral movement has always been there. And some could be dissatisfied with the ticket distribution. Some okay. could be ideologically shifting. Some may be seeing, as you rightly pointed out, changes in the wind direction, which people are sensing. Four people in Gujarat, you know, from Congress shifting to the BJP, and some other states, Bengal also, one of them, you know, coming.
So is the wind shifting? That's one of the points that we're going to take a look at. But Mawa, can I just get you in front of Trinamool Congress's point when Noor came across to the TMC? You and many of the TMC said that this is an indication of the way the wind is blowing in West Bengal. Now that a really prominent TMC leader has left you and gone across, do you see that as a huge setback? Is that an indication of the wind is turning?
Who are we talking about? Which prominent leader?
Arjun Jindal, a lot of people. There are two or three TMC leaders. Are you going to tell
Arjun,
me he's not a prominent TMC leader?
Arjun Singh is an MLA. Vikram, Arjun Singh is an MLA. He's one of 211 MLAs in the Assembly constituency of Bhatpara as part of the North 24 Parganas district. And I'm not going to deny that he was a four-time MLA from the Trinamool and he's a strong regional leader. But having said that, I mean, look, politics is a mix of ideology and aspiration at the end of the day. So if somebody is shifting away from ideology and moving to the BJP, I would be worried. But given that somebody who was in our meeting yesterday, who was in our meeting day before yesterday, had long discussions as to how he wanted that ticket and when the party couldn't give it to him, and obviously re-nominated Mr. Trivedi, he found that as far as his aspirations were concerned, that his best bet was to go and try and show what he could do against Mr. Trivedi, which is why he went over to the BJP. So it's not an ideological shift. It's not that the BJP is appealing to a huge mass of people in Bengal. It's nothing like that. It's one leader who decides that this is his time and he has to fight no matter what, and someone's willing to give him a ticket apart from Trinamool and he's gone. And, you know, good luck to him. That's all there is to it. It doesn't show anything more or anything less. It happens all over. It's happened the day before, the day after we announced the tickets. If he had to go before, he would have gone 3 days ago, which he didn't. He was in our meeting even
yesterday. Ghanshyam, can I come to you? Because two parties who may be perhaps somewhat concerned about what could happen with the rebel factor are the SP and the BSP, for the simple reason that Doyo Alliance is actually, at least on the ground, seems to be working much better than anyone would have thought. We were all forecasting that by now there would have been at least a dozen major spats between the SP and the BSP and the leadership level. None of that has happened. You seem to be holding together fairly solidly so far, which is interesting. But when tickets are announced, when seat allocations are done, when prominent SP and BSP leaders find that they are not going to be getting a ticket, that's when the possibility for rebellion starts to build up. Many of them may well decide to go across to the Congress and say, well, you know, we'll give us a ticket, we'll fight. Is that something you're concerned about?
Well, the only rebellion we see in Uttar Pradesh is against BJP by the people, to rout out both Yogi and Modi. As far as candidates...
we'll see. We'll pata chalega. And on the 23rd, we'll know whether you were right or wrong. But I'm saying for now, the possibility of rebellion doesn't worry
you. We have a slogan for 23rd. 23 Mai BJP gai, 23 Mai Sarkar nahi. But coming back to your question, I think candidates will shift depending on their political aspirations. The fact that one, BJP repeatedly is seeing shoe strike within their own camps, and sometimes the MP is striking MLAs, sometimes the MP is striking officers. The fact that every day you will find in newspapers, BJP is reporting, sources say that 40 MPs of BJP will not be given tickets, 50 MPs, there is an implosion that is happening within BJP.
So you mean anybody who doesn't get a ticket could therefore become a rebel, which includes the BJP also in case
The biggest chunk is coming from there. I believe this election in Uttar Pradesh is not about candidates entirely. It's also about how the organization fit in what is the agenda. And this is a very open book election. BJP has one view of society, we have another. They believe everybody have jobs, we believe job is a crisis. They believe farmers are happy, we believe the farms is a crisis. They believe there is no social disharmony, we believe there is social disharmony. They believe Modi is great and we believe that Mr. Modi has destroyed Indian economy and the democratic system of the country.
Okay, fine.
I still didn't get the answer.
You still didn't answer. So as Desh, I think, very politely pointed out, you still didn't answer whether you're worried about the rebellion factor, but I guess we will find out as the seats are allocated. There's actually a bigger question that is hanging around all of this, which is the entire question of alliances, which are interestingly and somewhat fascinatingly still not 100% sealed everywhere, although the elections are right upon us, and I want to turn my attention to that in a couple of minutes. But Mr. Tyagi, let's get you in. It's great always to have you with us. Bihar is a state that, for whatever reason, is not getting quite the sort of attention which perhaps it should be getting in the media and elsewhere, given the number of seats that are there. The JDU and the BJP, you actually were able to tie up that alliance really quite surprisingly early. Are you happy with the way the relationship is going? And are you concerned about the same thing which I said? No one seems to have deserted right now. No one seems to be rebelling. Is that a possibility? Because the JDU was one of the parties which may well have had a lot to worry about in terms of rebellion and split, given that Sharad Yadav and others did break away after your decision to go with Narendra Modi. There was a perception that many others, unhappy with that particular relationship, may break away and use this election to signal that. Hasn't happened yet. Could it happen now?
Look, BJP and JDU's alliance is not new. हम नॉन कांग्रेस जो मोमेंट था उसकी प्रोडक्ट है एंड सेम इज जनसंघ नाउ बीजेपी. हमने 77 में भी 89 में भी एंड 204 के बाद लगातार बीजेपी के साथ मिलकर के सरकार बनाई है. कुछ सवाल हमारे ऐसे हैं जिस पर हमारा इनसे डिफरेंसेस रहता है, जो कोर हमारी कॉन्स्टिट्यूंसी के इश्यूज हैं. आर्टिकल 370 वी डिफर विद देम. ऑन राम जन्मभूमि एंड बाबरी मस्जिद वी डिफर विद देम. On the question of uniform civil code, we differ with them. But on the major issues, हम लोग एक दूसरे के साथ काम करते हैं. शरद यादव जी का यहाँ तक सवाल है. वो पार्टी के संस्थापक भी रहे हैं, सीनियर मोस्ट लीडर थे, और वो अलग हुए हैं, लेकिन पार्टी की रैंक एंड फाइल में टोटल यूनिटी है. क्योंकि बिहार बीजेपी के साथ काम करने का लंबा अनुभव है, और नीतीश कुमार जो हैं वहाँ पे एस्टेब्लिश्ड लीडर हैं, ना सिर्फ जेडीयू के बल्कि एंटायर सोशलिस्ट मोमेंट के. जो कर्पूरी ठाकुर की और जेपी की जो लीगेसी है, उसके एकमात्र वारिस इस समय बिहार में श्री नीतीश कुमार.
सर, आपने अभी भी सवाल का ये नहीं जवाब दिया है कि जैसे शरद यादव जी और अन्य लोग हैं जो पूरी तरह से सहमत नहीं थे कि जेडीयू ने फैसला लिया कि आप भाजपा के साथ जाएंगे, अब तक उनके पास कोई चारा नहीं था, उनके पास कोई पॉसिबिलिटी नहीं थी कि लोग जाके उनको ज्वाइन करें. अब जब चुनाव सबके सर पर है, तो संभव है कि लोग फैसला करें कि नहीं, रेबेल करते हैं, चले जाते हैं, दूसरे साइड चले जाते हैं, ये फैसला गलत था. संभव है चुनाव के समय. क्या आपको ऐसे दिख रहा है कि ऐसी संभावना है?
विक्रम जी, मैं एक तो पैनल में सीनियर हूँ, इसलिए थोड़ा सा मैं आपसे ये भी लिबर्टी लेना चाहता हूँ कि हमारे समय में जब हमने राजनीति शुरू की थी, तब आइडियोलॉजिकल इशूज पर लोग अलग होते थे. जैसे कम्युनिस्ट मूवमेंट में डिवीजन हुआ, सोशलिस्ट मूवमेंट में डिवीजन हुआ कि कांग्रेस के साथ कोऑपरेट करना चाहिए कि नहीं करना चाहिए. अब जो ये डिवीजन नहीं है ये, और ये जो चुनाव के वक्त पे जो इस तरह का होता है, उसका पब्लिक पे भी कोई असर नहीं पड़ता. मैं बताऊं, इमरजेंसी में जब मैं जेल में था तो अखबार पढ़ता था मैं. आज इतने लोगों ने 20 सूत्री का समर्थन कर दिया, आज इतने लोगों ने 5 सूत्री का समर्थन कर दिया. एंड व्हेन आई केम आउट, एवरीबॉडी वाज अपोजिंग इमरजेंसी एंड मिसेस गांधी. लेकिन हमारे यहाँ जो शरद यादव जी वाला फैक्टर है, वो मैंने आपसे बता दिया, विद ऑल माई रेस्पेक्ट टू हिम, ही इज अलोन. उनके साथ पार्टी की रैंक एंड फाइल नहीं गई. और जहाँ तक अब जो अलायंस है हमारा, इस अलायंस ने आज नहीं 2009 में इसी अलायंस ने माइनस रामविलास पासवान वहाँ की 32 लोकसभा सीटें जीती हैं. रामविलास के आने के बाद जो अर्थमेटिक ऑफ द अलायंस इज 38. इसलिए हमारे यहां से कोई क्यों जाना चाहेगा?
ओके, दे आर विनिंग, सो व्हाई वुड एनीबडी लीव? आरती, आई कम बैक टू, बिफोर आई मूव टू अलायंस, व्हिच इज रियली व्हाट आई वांट टू ट्राई एंड डिग आउट टीथ इनटू अ लिटिल बिट एंड सीइंग वेयर दैट इज शेपिंग अप, द क्वेश्चन ऑफ व्हाई वुड समबडी वांट टू लीव winning formation, what Tyagi ji has just said. All of these recent movements that are happening, I mean, let's just step back a little bit. If you rewind back to just after Rajasthan, after Madhya Pradesh, after Chhattisgarh, strong perception, BJP really sliding very fast, opposition is on the upswing, Modi government is on its way out. The sense at a wind level is, okay, that has been changed or reversed. Are there defections indicating in that same way? And is that the biggest, is it a barometer that we should look at, the defections?
Well, you know, I think it depends on the kind of person who's moving and, you know, whether that person is actually a mass leader in his area or not, whether he represents a community or, you know, a certain social force. And some of the people who are moving really don't represent anything. I mean, they've got no ground strength. I think this is more of, you know, trying to create a perception that, you know, people are moving to our side and therefore we are strong and therefore we're winning. So I think you have to actually look at,
But the point that you just made, because that's what some commentators have been saying, that essentially there are people who are being wooed across to create the impression that there is a wind even if there isn't a wind. Yes. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if you want me to take names, I can take names. For instance, Tom Vadakkan, which is the latest, you know, who is the latest to cross the floor. And, you know, the fact is that, I mean, I've known Tom for many, many years, and he's a good friend of mine and a very nice guy. And but, I mean, honestly, I don't think he represents very much in Kerala. He has been a Delhi person, Delhi-based, all these years. And I don't think he adds very much to the BJP in Kerala. But yes, in terms of perception, it's a big thing
If the Congress was on the verge of winning this election, why would he have gone across? I think that's the perception question I was asking.
Could be. But, you know, I mean, there are all kinds of reasons why people leave. You know, it's not necessarily that somebody is winning. I mean, for instance,
His own Twitter feed has a number of a number of really interesting reasons why people leave one party.
No, for instance, why would Savitri?
I'm sure he's scrubbing his Twitter feed
Why would Savitri, Phule leave? For instance, she's left what seems to be a winning combination.
Vikram, he was a spokesperson. He was a spokesperson for the Congress, and he knows the inside out of the Congress, and he has inside information also of the Congress. Please remember.
Not all spokespersons always. Aishwarya is saying, I won't necessarily show that I know everything.
She's being modest. Let me tell you, she's being very modest.
He's giving me far more credit if he thinks
okay, Aishwarya, if you know exactly what's happening inside a Congress, quickly tell us. Are you going to actually tie up with the BSP and the SP or not? Will there be are you going to have seat sharing, seat level arrangements or no?
If the spokesperson had to do alliance, you would have a different story any day and every day.
Much better as for, like, you know, alliances here. No, but the fact is also how they're going to utilize a person that moves over. For example, a man who's been External Affairs Minister in the Congress, a man who's been Governor, Chief Minister, S.M. Krishna, moved over to the BJP and has been relegated of being a mouthpiece to just speak against the Congress. And when a spokesperson moves over, compared to a man who's held almost every top position in the party, it's about how the party is going to use him. Okay. And Vikram, the simple fact is, if you're moving there because there's a wave and there anyway, all of them are going to win, you're going to be an outsider in their victory anyway. It's not like you're going to gain any sort of large benefit
Can I now come back to, look, elections are about chemistry, yes, always. And that's where the question of wave and what are the signals and who's winning and the bandwagon effect and is there a swing in this person's favor or that person's favor? Is Balakot going to change the narrative or not? That's where all of this comes in. This is chemistry. But if you're going to get academic about this, equally important or perhaps more important in elections is the arithmetic, which is simply 1+1 and what does that actually do in a first-past-the-post system. We've been saying right from the start, from 4 or 5 months perhaps, one of the biggest game changers in this entire election was the SP-BSP alliance because it totally changes the numbers in Uttar Pradesh. It's still not, RLD has also not come on board, but the Congress may well, because of the fact that it's rising out there, have a certain impact. I'm going to come to all of you and discuss that in a second. But Mahbooba, if I can just ask you, looking at alliances across the board, Mamata Banerjee had come up with a particular thesis that the opposition should try really hard that in every individual seat, there should be one really strong candidate taking on the BJP. And that is the only way, she didn't use the word only, but many interpreted that to be, that is the way in which the opposition can beat the BJP. Every single constituency find one person who can stand against the NDA and the rest of the people swing come behind it. This was her basic thesis. Now that the elections have been announced and are around the corner, is that thesis on the ground actually working out, or have things not worked out as per plan?
Vikram, look, we are dealing with 543 constituencies, and while it may not work out in 500 in all 543 of them, if you look at the larger picture, you look at the big states. So if you're looking at Gujarat, you're looking at Rajasthan, you're looking at Madhya Pradesh, you're looking at Rajasthan, at Chhattisgarh, it is basically, I mean, we are not there, the SP, BSP, Adana, it's pretty much a Congress versus BJP fight. So let those four states go. Then if you look at what else do you have UP, you have Tamil Nadu, you have Bengal, you have Bihar. So in UP, you have the SP, BSP, so more or less you're going to have a 1:1 fight, because we saw in Phulpur, in Gorakhpur, where the Congress had put up candidates, that the vote got polarized, and even traditional Congress voters went with the SP, BSP, because they realized they didn't want the BJP, and we expect the same thing to happen again. So UP is taken care of. If you come to Bengal, the Congress and the CPM are apparently sorting out an alliance, but we've seen that before in 2016 when they had an alliance and we got 211 out of 294. So we are pretty confident of taking on the BJP 1:1 in Bengal. If you look at Bihar, you have Nitish with, you have the JDU with the BJP, and you have the Congress with the RJD. And that is again a 1:1, you know, NDA versus non-NDA. So if you look at the, and you look at the Mr. Stalin, the DMK have tied up with the Congress. So I think in all the major states, while it may not percolate to every single seat, I think as far as the larger picture goes, the algebra is in place, absolutely.
Okay, that's interesting. Because actually, one state that you could add to that list may well be Karnataka, where, of course, now the JDS and the Congress are together.
Yes, yes, of course. Yesterday, I forgot that. Yes.
Karnataka
the JDS have 8 seats, and that's right.
You could add that to Karnataka. In Andhra and in Telangana, it's still, you know, far from certain as to what's happening. It's a very mixed picture out there. Mm-hmm. Odisha, again, is a bit of a mixed picture. But I want to just take you up on both on West Bengal and on Uttar Pradesh a little bit. Let's come to Uttar Pradesh. I'm going to, if you've been watching the show, you'll have seen these statistics and me describing these statistics so often. I'm not going to waste my time on them. That SP plus the BSP has a certain potent implication. From 2014, the fact that you both have come together, it takes you to that particular tally, brings the BJP down from 70 to somewhere in the 30s. That's what happens. But if you had got the Congress on board in some form or the other, the BJP could have been down to under 10. And I want to put to you, Ghanshyam, a slightly broader thing, which should perhaps be furrowing your brow a little bit. If you're seeing some of the data that is coming out on polling, on, you know, things like the Neta app and other things, but the Congress may well be gathering a certain amount of strength with the Priyanka factor in Eastern UP and all of that. That actually may mean that if the Congress gets a certain amount of strength, and the Congress genuinely tries to fight in every Uttar Pradesh seat to win, they could end up cutting your vote. And as a result, Congress may come up from the 2 seats or 3 seats to 6, 8, 7 seats, whatever they are. But the net impact of that, I'm going to ask the Congress this also, because are they helping the BJP more than they're helping themselves, is a very important question to ask. But from your point of view, is there the possibility that you may not end up getting that 50, 60 seats which you're hoping for? You'll be at 30, 40. Which is better than what you got last time, but not enough to fatally wound the BJP.
Well, right in the beginning of this year, we announced an alliance. And we said this is the election that will define the future of Indian democracy. As a result, we will not waste any time getting distracted. We have stuck to that format of alliance. We have said that the agenda is clear, the alliance partners is cleared. We have given 2 seats to Congress within the frame of that alliance. And beyond that, Congress is free to choose its track. As far as our organization is concerned, we are on the ground, focused on the ball, ensuring that the message reaches everyone. And we interact with people and build the momentum towards this alliance.
So Can I ask you a blunt question? There's a certain perception, especially because the SP has allied with the Congress in the past. There is a particular perception that you would be willing to be more flexible when it comes to the Congress. But Mayawati is digging in her heels. Yes or no?
I believe in discussions, these are good analytical points. But on the ground, I think it's not a moment to get distracted. On the ground, we are focused. We believe that there is a media-driven campaign.
Leaving
that
30 to 40 seats in the BJP is not a question of being distracted. If by not being able to get a perfect alliance, the sort that Mahbuba was talking about, not having a perfect alliance, if it means 20 seats or 30 seats less, it means a difference in this election. that may well end up happening.
I disagree. I believe that the fact that the alliance is very, very strong is visible in the implosion of Bharatiya Janata Party. Somebody like Sakshi Maharaj is writing an open letter to his own party president, citing his caste, saying that, please don't debar me from contesting on BJP ticket. So there is an implosion that is happening, and that gives us confidence. The field news gives us confidence. I think there is a different studio talk that on alliance that is happening here versus what is happening on the ground. And I think what we are focusing on is what is happening on the ground.
Okay. What is it? Ashwani, you're shaking your head. But okay, let me paint for, if you like, for you. Because I mean, I know you can't officially say anything. Let me just paint a scenario for you. Let's say you did have a scenario where the Congress party was, like you have done in Karnataka with the JDS, like you've done in a few other places, you walked the extra mile. You're not willing to do it with the Aam Aadmi Party for some reason in Delhi. I'm not going to get into who's being reasonable or who's not being unreasonable. I'm just painting a scenario for you. By not tying up with the Aam Aadmi Party, maybe the BJP gets 3 or 4 extra seats or 5 extra seats, maybe all extra seats in Delhi and in Haryana, maybe even in Punjab it has an impact. By your not having some sort of a tie-up or at least a seat-by-seat understanding with the SP and BSP, it could have an impact not just in Uttar Pradesh, but the Congress could end up losing seats in Chhattisgarh, you could lose seats in Madhya Pradesh, you may even lose a seat or two in Maharashtra, who knows, Rajasthan, Punjab. All of these things are possible. So are you leaving a certain number of seats on the ground? Because the Congress party believes, let's worry about the long term. Let's worry about 2024. Rahul Gandhi is still young, so we don't have to worry about it right now. He could be prime minister in 2024 or 2029 or 2033. Why worry about it right now?
Is he that young?
Who knows? I'm saying this.
I mean, you stretched it up.
I've heard. No. I'm telling you why I'm saying this, Deshmukh. I've had this conversation with prominent Congress leaders, various. When you're having this debate, sometimes they'll say, "But we don't have to worry right now. You know, we can." There's 2024. I'm like, really? Is that what your plan is?
You know, Vikram, alliances have become the need of the day for the sort of dispensation that we're fighting. However, if they're not symbiotic in a rather parasitic in a form, that they're not good for the party in
itself. Who's parasitic on whom in Uttar Pradesh?
What we're saying is it became absolutely toxic that we're allowed only 2 seats when our cadre has finally re-energized, is willing to work, and you've put in work over a period of time. And, you know, to them that they have their alliance, but there are a few things that you have to think about. Everybody says we're going to take a chunk out of, let's say, the BJP, but you are off the SP-BSP alliance, but we also take a significant chunk out of the BJP's certain section in Eastern UP that traditionally votes for them. The second factor is,
so
irrespective, let me just complete. There are some, as much as arithmetic is important, there is chemistry on the ground where traditional rivals over decades are now trying to basically put all their dissension aside and work together. As much as they think there's going to be that great implosion of victory and the seats, to try and get the grassroots worker to vote for a traditional rival and reconcile with that feeling is extremely hard, and it has to come down to a lot more political will than their display.
Can I ask you a blunt question?
Yes.
The blunt question being this. There are perhaps 8, maybe 10 seats that the Congress may legitimately think it has a chance of winning in UP. I know you'll say you got 21 in 2009, but this is not 2009 right now. The Congress is now down to 44 seats. In the seats where you don't think you have a chance of winning, will you work to help the SP and the BSP and hurt the BJP, or is that not going to be a factor?
The Congress president, Mr. Rahul Gandhi, has said that all the opposition parties in one way or the other, whether through alliance or dialogue, are willing to work out, reach out and work together. I have, obviously, as he might believe, I'm far more in tune with what is happening within the party. But from what I know, that in places where opposition parties can help each other, that is something that people will do. And I believe that that is also a way forward to take on the BJP in the end.
Okay, we'll see. I mean, again, it's not very clear which side you are helping, which side you are hurting. Priyanka Gandhi reaching out to, you know, the Bhim Sena, and reaching out to Chandrasekhar. Is that going to help the BJP? Is it going to hurt the BSP? These are all open-ended questions. Maybe it will do enough to help the BSP, enough to make them lose seats, not enough to help you win seats, which may be a possibility, in which case Desh is going to be smiling and saying this worked out actually rather well for us.
Otherwise, I'm smiling.
Yeah, I mean, he's actually normally smiles. But I'm going to come to some of the NDA alliances in just a minute. But let me just finish looking at the opposition side. Bawa, would the Trinamool Congress or Mamata Banerjee or any of the others who were trying to say let's get this you know, nationwide opposition unity together, do you think somebody like Mamata Banerjee would almost be tempted to try and play mediator to some extent in some of these relationships, Congress-AAP relationship, Congress-SP-BSP relationship, try and saying, look, guys, why can't you sort out your differences and get and move in a certain direction? Is that on the agenda or not? By the way, even in West Bengal, where you may have once felt that you could get 34, 35 seats, you may well be unpleasantly surprised by how well the BJP could do. I mean, the BJP gets 10 seats or 12 seats, it may come as a shock to you, but it's not entirely impossible.
To answer the first question, look, these are very delicate balances. I mean, you know, we're dealing with parties, very mature parties, large parties, whether we are dealing with, I mean, we are dealing with leaders of great stature. So you have Mamata Banerjee. Similarly, you have Akhilesh Yadav, you have Sharad Pawar, you have Farooq Abdullah. So these are all leaders of, you know, enormous stature in India. So obviously it's a delicate mix. Having said that, when we saw during the Karnataka Assembly elections happened, Mamata Di did play a part in speaking to both sides. So how, I think these depend very much on personal relations, on personal equations, and this is not something always in the public domain. This is not something which is done formally, but yes, do people talk to each other informally and try and sort it out if you're all on the same side? Yes, of course. But it's not done, I think, in the public domain, and it is done by very informal personal equations. Yes.
Okay. The Sharad Pawar part is done. The JDS part is done. So if I was to specifically ask you that, Mamata...
Even the Maharashtra Alliance and actually...
The minor parties.
Yes.
What's going to happen with...
Absolutely. And this is the point. You know, even if they could not work out a nationwide alliance of a one-on-one fight against the BJP, at least in states where they have clear-cut partners, they should have tied up those alliances. Even in some states, those alliances are hanging in a balance, like in Maharashtra. Bihar, they've only just tied up yesterday. With Farooq Abdullah, it's also not absolutely clear what is happening. You know, so, I mean, the Congress and the opposition have been very, very slow, whereas look at the BJP, the speed with which the BJP has done. And, mind you, in a state like Bihar, the BJP is actually giving up 5 sitting seats for the JDU. Yeah. I mean, that's really stepping back to accommodate an ally.
And
you know, but we have not seen that kind of give and take or accommodation.
You know, at the end of the day, Aarti, it was said in 2014 that who's the hungriest to win?
Absolutely. That's a factor. And the BJP is looking the hungriest.
Would you be almost surprised at the amount that the BJP, which is, let's face it, a far more dominant force right now than the Congress party is, but the fact that the BJP was willing to almost eat humble pie, almost willing to swallow pride in reaching out to the Shiv Sena and Maharashtra, after all that the Shiv Sena was saying, chaukidar, chor hai, everything, the BJP still said, okay, we're going to tie up with the Shiv Sena in Maharashtra, go the extra mile with the JDU, with you know, Mr. Tyagi sitting next to you, you know, to your left. Were you somewhat surprised, or is that something which you always thought the BJP would do?
See, that's the mature leadership. There's nothing called surprise in politics. When you have traditional alliances, trusted alliances who have worked in the past, and maybe there were differences, but end of the day, everybody sat down, sorted it out, and there is a strong alliance, one. And secondly, if you look at it, some seats which the BJP has given this side, it's also, you know, look at the alliances in the Northeast. The chances in the Northeast,
another major development this week. The fact that you've got the Northeast alliance back to potentially 7 to 8 seats could ride on that.
And the West Bengal, the rise in West Bengal, Orissa, very positive signs. Look at the alliances in Tamil Nadu. So whatever, you know, BJP has accommodated on this side, they have tried to gain on the other side. So some balance remains the same.
Okay. Tyagi ji, kya aapko bhi lagta hai ki jo NDA ne pichle ek hafte, do hafte mein jo prayas kiye hain alliances ke liye, kya aapko lagta hai ki us tarah se, uske wajah se arithmetic mein ek edge aa gaya? Tamil Nadu mein bhi, jahan AIDMK ki position kafi weak thi, ab, you know, Vijay Kant ji bhi aa gaye hain, Northeast ki hum baat kar rahe the, aur khas taur se Bihar jaise rajy mein, kya aapko lagta hai Bhajpa tayar thi, wo jo ek do extra kadam hai, jo chalne the unko, wo chalne ke liye razi the?
देखिए, मैं यूपी से भी लोकसभा का एमपी रहा हूँ और समाजवादी पार्टी में भी रहा हूँ और एसपी बीएसपी गठबंधन में भी रहा हूँ. जब शुरू में ये गठबंधन बना था तो सब लोग सोचते थे कि ये 60-65 सीटों के आसपास का गठबंधन. कांग्रेस पार्टी एक स्टेज पे 2009 में लगभग 19 सीटें लोकसभा की जीत चुकी थी.
21.
और एसपी ने जो गेन किया है वो कांग्रेस पार्टी की कॉस्ट पे किया है. अगर मैं ये कहूं कि मुलायम सिंह यादव की एसपी जिसमें मैं रहा हूं उसने कांग्रेस पार्टी के जन आधार को मास बेस को कमजोर करने के बाद ही उसकी इमरजेंसी है। वन टू जो मायावती की या काशीराम जी की जो इमरजेंसी है वो भी जो सोशल बेस था कांग्रेस पार्टी का उसको लेकर के वो अलग हुई है जिसमें शेड्यूल कास्ट और अदर वीकर सेक्शन ऑफ द सोसाइटी शामिल है। लिहाजा ये अलायंस अब दोबारा बनना इतना आसान नहीं है चूंकि सब अपनी अपनी सीटों पर जुड़ गए हैं। भारतीय जनता पार्टी का एडवांटेज या एनडीए का एडवांटेज ये हो गया है कि मैं जैसे वेस्ट यूपी का रहने वाला हूँ, मैं एक दर्जन सीटें गिना सकता हूँ, आपका टाइम नहीं वेस्ट करना चाहता। कांग्रेस पार्टी लाजमी तौर पर नुकसान कर रही है, नुकसान कर रही है, वो मुजफ्फरनगर में करेगी नुकसान, वो सहारनपुर में करेगी नुकसान, वो मुरादाबाद में जहाँ रजबब्बर खड़ा होगा वहाँ नुकसान करेगी, और इसमें बहुत कंफर्टेबल सिचुएशन एनडीए के लिए हो गई है। जहाँ तक आप बिहार का पूछ रहे थे, बिहार में एक 17% के आसपास वोट बैंक जो है नीतीश कुमार की गुड गवर्नेंस का है, उसकी कास्ट का नहीं है, उसकी कास्ट को बड़ी कास्ट नहीं है। जब हम कांग्रेस पार्टी और आरजेडी के साथ थे तब हमने काफी सफलता उसमें प्राप्त की विधानसभा चुनाव में। हम 2014 में बहुत बुरी तरह से हारे, घनश्याम जी जानते हैं, दो सीटें हमें मिली लेकिन वोट परसेंटेज हमारा 16-17% रहा। तो हमारा अर्थमेटिक भी मजबूत है और हमारी बूथ केमिस्ट्री भी मजबूत है
जी। आई थिंक यू नो आई गेस इट कम्स बैक, सो ए कम्स टू हंगर, इट कम्स टू द विलिंगनेस टू वॉक द एक्स्ट्रा माइल। What I was just hinting at or alluding to right now, there's an issue in what he says for the Congress party. Why they don't want to tie up with the Aam Aadmi Party in Delhi is what happens to our long-term future. Yeah. Why they cannot accept 7-8 seats or 6 seats in Uttar Pradesh, what happens to our long-term future. So is the Congress party slightly caught between two stools right now? That what do we do? Do we worry about 2019 election, which is 2 months ago and 3 months, I mean, 2-3 weeks away, and we need to defeat the BJP somehow, or do we worry about our long-term future?
Well, I mean, I would say that they should worry about 2019, because look, I mean, 2014...
They may not have a long-term future.
They may not have a long-term future, absolutely. I mean, look at 2014, they plummeted to 44. Vikram, that is the lowest ever. Now, if they don't get at least over 100 seats, I would say the Congress doesn't have much of a future, you know. And if the BJP comes back to power and the Congress is stuck at somewhere like 70, 80, I mean, I think you'll find the Congress really breaking up after the elections. So, I mean, if...
Or becoming a regional party in certain areas.
Or becoming a regional party in some areas or whatever, you know. But, I mean, it won't be the Congress, it won't be the Congress that it aspires to be.
She's right. Congress aspires to be a national party. Exactly. That's why it can't play second fiddle in Uttar Pradesh, right? Because otherwise it could say, okay, we're a party which is Gujarat, Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, Chhattisgarh, we're going to do really well out here, Maharashtra maybe, and we don't have aspirations in Uttar Pradesh. They can't tie up with them because they don't want to play second fiddle. That, I guess, is the question.
They have to be pragmatic, and you know, that pragmatism doesn't seem to be visible. The sort of pragmatism that we've seen in the BJP, and not just in Narendra Modi's BJP, Vajpayee's BJP, if you remember 1999, when Vajpayee was at the peak of his popularity, having won the Kargil War and everything, he gave up 44 seats to accommodate new allies in his NDA.
Okay. You know?
You know why these SP and BSP are slightly hesitant? If you look at the previous assembly elections, the tie-up with the Congress actually harmed them.
The tie-up, just to be clear, I'm going to come to the tie-up. By the way, doesn't necessarily have to be a formal alliance with the Congress Party. The tie-up, and that, by the way, may well be what happens right now also. So let's not rule it out entirely at this stage.
No, the tie-up may even be tactical.
Alliance could be seat by seat.
Yes.
The alliance could be, here are 7 or 8 seats that we think the Congress. There are 8 seats in UP where the Congress, 9 seats where the Congress came second. They said, tell the Congress, okay, we'll allow you to have a serious fight out here. In the other places, put up candidates who will cut the BJP's votes and not ours. That sort of a tactical alliance may well happen.
That's a possibility. Honestly, I think this is analysis paralysis. I think there's an alliance, there's an election, it's right in our face.
parties who are ready for that election will forge their alliance and go to the electorate. It's time. The election has been announced. In Bihar, that alliance should have been there on the ground.
Would
it's
you
not
like
there.
The Congress? He said that the Congress could hurt you in 7 or 8 seats in Western UP, and he's probably right.
We've been discussing that for 2 months now, ever since this alliance got announced. But the election is right here.
So you
we
say
have
now
to accept
today.
The facts if, as if, facts and go to the people. It is for Congress to decide what is its course of action. And there are many states they still have this analysis paralysis going on. Delhi is one state. Bihar is another. So it is for Congress to decide what course of action it has to take. As far as Uttar Pradesh is concerned, I think this is very, very clear. One alliance, clear agenda, and let the voter decide.
Okay, so strong words there from Ghanshyam. Baba, you heard what Ghanshyam said. Look, you know, we can't keep on waiting forever is what he pretty much seems to be saying, and the Congress can't. And by the way, it's not as if they are necessarily, or the Aam Aadmi Party is necessarily being particularly reasonable either. I think everyone recognizes that everyone is in a sense almost trying to play, see who's going to blink first in this sort of a battle. It's not very clear who's going to blink. So I'm again coming back to you. You were hinting or indicating that maybe not in TV studios, but there may be back channel conversations that are happening. Would it be one of the things that, let's say Mamata was to have a conversation with SP, BSP, Arvind Kejriwal, Congress Party, would be one of the things to say, let's worry about 2019, don't worry about 2024? Is that the sort of a message that you would like to communicate to the others?
Everyone's thinking about 2019. There is no, if the BJP are, you know, if we can't remove them in 2019, there'll be nothing left of the institutions of India, there'll be nothing left of the constitution. So I think all of us realize that the battle is 2019 and, you know, we've got to get through this, and which is why we have the big rally here on the 19th of January, where everyone joined. There have been subsequent meetings in Delhi, so I think that's very much the plan.
Okay, that's a rather scary phrase from Mova. Aishwarya, would you agree with that? That this is it, 2019, and I'm trying to remember exact words. If there's no, if 2019 you don't get the BJP out of it, then there'll be no constitution.
I think she meant parties.
Did you say there'll be no other parties, or did you say there'll be no constitution?
It's the same thing, by the way.
she meant that, and she said something else.
Okay, so
no, we have to acknowledge a few things that never in the history of democracy in India have you seen the sort of.
No, hold on. I said the constitution. I said institutions. I didn't say anything else. I said exactly what I meant. Okay, I said there's going to be nothing left of the constitution, and there's going to be nothing left of any institutional framework in India. That's exactly what I meant, and that's exactly what I said.
But what about the parties? Would they be left if BJP comes?
But if there are no institutions and there are no constitution, then by definition there are no parties also. I'm trying to play political theorist out here, right?
The idea of India, I think, is more important right now than political parties. I think this election, we are fighting for literally the idea of India, which the BJP seems to have turned.
Okay, Aishwarya, seeing as everyone is looking at you and the Congress Party, Mawa says, realize what's at stake. Do you think all of this is going to get tied up reasonably soon or no?
I honestly believe so, because never in the history of, you know, the democracy in India have you seen that these sort of opposing ideologies come together and unite on a plank where they realize that it's not just their political future or political parties, but the entire idea of India, whether it's institutions, whether it's the courts, everything that is threatened. And you see that they've all come together a lot. And I believe, irrespective of our own individual alliances as the Indian National Congress, that the opposition will cobble up enough numbers, because this is about
surviving. As Ghanshyam said, you don't have much time. You know how far, you know what the date is right now? You know how far the election is? It's not a theoretical exercise that we're having in 2017 or 2018 when we started the road to 2019. It's here. End of March is here. So we'll wait and see. I think, there is obviously a lot of progress that is happening and a lot of discussions are happening. But certainly it has to be said that the NDA and the BJP have moved much faster, shown a great deal, much more hunger in actually tying up everything, getting it organized, and have hit the ground. Now, is it too late for the opposition? Well, still not. Never say never to anything. But we'll wait and see what actually happens. There are, of course, some big alliances that have been done, even on the opposition side, notably SP, BSP, whatever's happening in Maharashtra, whatever's going to happen in Karnataka. We will have to wait and see how it all pans out. Tamil Nadu also seems to be a done deal. But do keep your eyes on whatever finally pans out in states like UP and Delhi. Could be really important. That's it for this week. We'll be back next week to keep an eye on whatever's happening.